I'm trying not to act up, but I feel worship in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can release a lot of stuff in worship, you know. John's Gospel, 16th chapter. I want to get this word into your spirit. No caveats. I've preached enough to you for you to get it. And I need you to catch it this morning. I need you to catch it. I need you to catch it. I'm going to throw it. but I need you to catch it. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses here to get us to where we need to go. I want to start in verse 12. I'll read to verse 13. And then we're going to finish in verse 33. The Bible says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus then says something in verse 16, and he says, a little while you shall not see me. And again, a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, you shall see me. They didn't understand it, because I go to the Father. They said, wherefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We cannot tell what he's saying. And Jesus knew that they had a desire to ask him. And he said unto me, they said unto them, do you inquire amongst yourselves of that I said a little while? And you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me. And he begins to say, verily I say, truly I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful. And then he says, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I want to pick this thing up at verse 31. And Jesus answered and said unto them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He then gives them this understanding. In the world you will have trouble, tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I want to preach to you from the subject matter, joy at the next level. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intent. For the word is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, speak a word to us today that changes not some things, but everything. Let it cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. I know we got a lot going on, but you're the only reason why we're here. So in these next few moments that we have, speak to us. Move upon us. Heal us. Deliver us. Set us free. mend broken hearts, heal distorted mindsets, do what only you can do. This is your house. Your spirit is welcome here. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit, and I loose deliverance and freedom and purpose and destiny into this room. I thank you, God, that no one leaves this place the way they came, but that we're all changed by your power. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. Quickly turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with that involves gold teeth, yellow teeth, whatever color your teeth is. Smile and say, there's joy at the next level. There's joy. Come on, turn around and tell somebody else, there's joy at the next level, at the next level. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've jumped into a discussion that Jesus is ending at a table called the Last Supper. And Jesus is with his disciples, and there's a lot going on at this table. Some of the things that are happening at this table is that once and for all, the Judas is being discovered as the betrayer. And Judas leaves the table abruptly because now it is his time and opportunity to betray Jesus. The betraying has to happen, and it has to occur because somebody has to sell Jesus out in order for him to take the journey to be crucified to fulfill his purpose on the earth. And so Judas takes the bait and becomes the betrayer, and he leaves the room. Now Jesus is left with the rest of the 11 disciples, and there's still discourse happening. And the discussion goes into a progression where Peter is trying to figure out if he's still one of the people that's going to betray Jesus. What Peter discovers is that not that you're going to betray Jesus, but that you're going to deny Jesus. And you're going to deny him because there's still some Simon on the inside of you that you have to shed before you get to the next level. Look at your neighbor and say, there's still some Simon that you got to shed before you get to the next level. They're going to look at you like you're crazy and go, what are you talking about? Simon is your alter ego. Simon is the part of you that you don't want to let go. Simon is the hindrance that's holding you back from fulfilling your entire destiny and the fulfillment of your purpose. Simon is that flaky part of you, that wishy-washy part of you, that rebellious part of you. Simon is that part of you that wants to continually to go back to what you know when God has already told you and showed you he has something different for your life, and you've started that process and started that journey, but become afraid because of the change that's required and the transition that needs to happen for you to become Peter. And Simon is going through this difficulty, and Peter is wrestling with Simon, and it's all at the table while Jesus is having this discussion. Meanwhile, while Simon is dealing what he's got to deal with, wrestling with his new self, Peter, Jesus is still having a conversation about what's about to happen at the next level. And he begins to talk about what's going to transpire at the next level, and none of the disciples understand what he's talking about. He says to you that in my Father's house there are many mansions, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. It was Thomas who rises up and says, Lord, you keep talking about where you're going, and he then asks a question, how shall we know the way? He does not ask the question that we think he asks. I'll get to that later. He asks the question, how shall we know the way? So he's not concerned with where Jesus is going. He's just concerned with the way. He doesn't care where the destination is. He cares about the route to the destination. He's trying to figure out how in the world are we going to get there. And so the problem is always in the way. The problem is always in how you're going to get to where God promised you're supposed to be. The problem is not the promise. The problem is the process to get to the promise. The problem is not the promise. We like the promise, but how do we know the way? Jesus steps into the discussion and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way you're going to get there is by me and through me. Look at your name and say, he's the way, he's the way, he's the way. The problem with that statement is that for Jesus to be the way, my Jesus has to come out of my Simon. For Jesus to be the way, what he put in me has to start manifesting, and I have to start going through this metamorphosis to change into what he said I'm supposed to be. The problem with that level of change is that you're used to your old self, and your old self is real comfortable. Y'all not going to talk back to me, and I ain't got a lot of time to convince you to get in the room. I'm going to throw it. You got to catch it. Your old self is comfortable. Your old self does not want to change. Your old self is holding on with all of his power and all of his might and waiting it out until a crisis hits for you to misinterpret the crisis and then choose to turn backwards to your old self. Your old self is banking on the fact that you have to go through this process and you have to go through this journey. And on the journey, there's going to be some debris, because debris and destiny go together. They are bunkmates. And in order for you to get to where you're supposed to go, there's got to be some disruptions, because it's the disruptions that'll bring to the surface the real matters of your heart, so that the hidden thing no longer controls you. The old self is banking on the hidden thing, that you bury it long enough so that when you hit a disruptive pathway, you choose to go backwards. This is what's going on in that room. Pastor, you got all that out of that? Yeah. Jesus is having a discussion about their next level. All of the disciples are wrestling with mindsets that are old. They haven't experienced this new thing. The entire time, Jesus has been with them, physically, in person. Now he's saying, I'm leaving. And the disciples are saying, where you going? They really don't ask that question in particular. They simply say, well, if you leave, how can we find you? How can we know the way? We picked up on the conversation in John 16 where he says to them, I have many things I want to say to you, but I can't do it right now because you're not ready for it. So I'm going to give you a guide at the next level. God, Jesus. And when I give you a guide at the next level, the guide is going to lead you and guide you in all truth. What's the all truth? The guide is going to show you who you really are. Because if you don't get this guide, you'll keep looking at me and depending on me, you know, to get you to where you're supposed to be. I have to leave you for a moment so that you can feel alone for a season, so that you can discover the hidden things I put in you. But I will not leave you comfortless. Ah, Jesus. I will give you another paraclete, and he will come alongside you and keep reminding you, you're a child of God. You're more than a conqueror. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. I wish I had a church to preach to in here. This is the conversation. And he says to them, this God will lead you and guide you in an all truth. We love that statement and we use it when we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we don't understand it. Because none of us like to be led. None of us like to be led. I'm going to say that again. None of us like to be led. I said none of us like to be led. He didn't say he'll drag you. He said he'll lead you. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Y'all want to sit on it. It's all good. Yeah, you want God to drag you. He won't. He'll leave you right where you are until you learn how to be led. Being led means I don't have any details. God, deep. And I just got to trust you and follow you and say, okay, this is where we're going today. I don't know about you, but when I travel, I like to know what the itinerary is. What time am I landing? Who's picking me up? Where am I staying? Am I close to food?
This is a real priority. What type of food? Okay, y'all want to talk about. So
we don't like to be led. We like to be dragged. And because we rather prefer to be dragged, Lord have mercy, we then don't realize that the guide is not there to drag you. The guide is there to lead you. So we pray prayers that ask God to drag us into stuff. And God says, no, I won't do that for you. I'll lead you into it. But to be led into it, there's a trust factor of transition that is required on behalf of the individual that's being led.
Just touch your neighbor and say, you're about to master transition real quick. I'm going to give you 60 seconds of a PhD in transition. 60 seconds. When you are being led, you cannot conflate no with not yet. God will lead you into the place of no so that you realize there are things you're not ready for yet. This is why Jesus says, I want to share some information with you, but I can't now. Until you get the guide that leads you and guides you in all truth, the information that I have for you, I can't give you. If I give it to you now, it's going to damage you because you're not ready to receive it. If you receive it now, you're going to mess it up. So don't conflate no with not yet. God is not saying no to you. He's saying not yet. You took the not yet and translated it as no. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting a PhD. Come on here. In transition. You took no. Y'all are fighting me so hard in here. It's ridiculous. You took no. You took no and translated it as not yet. And when you translated it you took not yet, and you translated it as no. And when you took it as no, you allow the Lord to stop leading you. Some debris came. I might need 80 seconds. Some debris came that disrupted everything. Some obstacle in your path. Some dilemma happened. Some drama jumped off, and you looked at the drama and you said, I ain't got time for all of that. And you look at the disruptions and you says, you know what? I don't have time. I will rather go back to my old self, because your old self adjusted to being miserable, and you know how to be miserable, and you know how to be comfortable in the misery, and you've adjusted to the average. I'm preaching better than y'all shouted. And you said, this is okay. I've made a life like this, and I am satisfied with where I am. And so you choose to stay where you are, because the transition is always difficult. There's always a mess in the middle. The problem with the disruption is that the disruption causes decomposition. In other words, stuff starts falling apart and breaking into pieces, and it looks like an awful goo, but there's grace in the goo. There's grace in the middle of the mess. It's not falling apart as much as it's falling into place. God, who am I talking to? You've taken it as falling apart. And so you say, I'm going to hold on to everything that I have at this moment. And God sends the debris in the pathway of the transition to disrupt you so that the real truth can come to the surface of the things that have been controlling you all of this time. It's like a butterfly that doesn't know it's a butterfly yet, because the beginning stage of the butterfly is that you gotta crawl on your belly. And you become comfortable with crawling on your belly that you translated, Lord have mercy, the cocoon as a good place. Help me, Holy Ghost, get through this. The cocoon is a good place. is comfortable. And the disciples got into a real comfortable place. And now Jesus is giving, watch me now, his remarks that are going to let them know it's time for your next level. And so now he's giving his final farewell, the remarks of his departure, to tell the disciples it's time for your next level. And on the next level, I'm going to give you a guide. And the disciple says, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't have a clue, like y'all talk looking at me right now, as to what you are saying. We don't know what you mean, Father, when you say to us, in a little while. What are you talking about? In a little while, we shall see you no more. You're standing right here. He wasn't talking, my God, in metaphor. He was saying, in a few moments, I'm leaving. And no. See, the disciples had got accustomed to him being there, and they didn't know they were at the last meal that they would have at their old level. God, you don't hear what I'm saying. They didn't know that this will be the last time I eat and know myself this way. There's something that is about to transpire that's about to change my entire trajectory and change my entire life. If you got half of a sense of what I'm talking about, just lean over into your neighbor and say, everything's about to change. Everything's about to change. Okay. I see how the enemy want to fight you. I see how the enemy want to fight you. Just look at your name and say, everything's about to change. Everything's about to change. Okay. So let me do a do-over. Here's my 60 seconds again. They don't know that the Lord is about to give them a crisis that's going to lead, to a process. That's going to lead to a passage. That's going to lead to a portal. They don't know God's about to give them a crisis that's about to lead to a process. That's about to lead to a passage. That's about to lead to a portal. They don't know that God, in a little while, is about to give them a crisis, because the crisis is a gift that's going to lead to a process, that's going to lead to a passage, that's going to lead to a portal. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, the process, the passage, and the portal. Y'all will fight me hard. Y'all will fight me hard. The process, the passage, and the portal. The crisis kicks it off. The disruption kicks it off. When all hell breaks loose, that's the kickoff. When you get the bad news, that's the start. When it looks impossible, that's the beginning. When they told you it wasn't going to happen, that's where it starts. I don't have time. I don't have time to teach. Catch it. Catch it. The crisis is not negative. The disruption is deliberate. God, Jesus. In a little while, everything's going to change. But it's going to start with a disruptive thing. Oh, God, who am I talking to in here? In a little while, everything is going to change. Okay, I don't have time. So the disruption, the crisis kicks off the process. The process, I got substance for you. Don't think this is fluff. The process, if you will, involves the sense of unease and anxiety that arises when the disruption comes into your life, because the disruption makes clear that change is imminent. Look at your neighbor and say, change is imminent. Change is imminent. Process is the valley of the shadow of death. where comfort and familiarity become scarce and uncertainty and alienation flourish. You are supposed to be unclear. Having clarity in the transition is an erroneous thought. You're not supposed to have clarity. Just because the path is not clear, don't panic. You gotta praise God anyhow and be determined that what the Lord has promised, He's gonna bring to pass. Slap your name and say, I just got my PhD. Praise the Lord anyhow and be determined that what God promised is gonna come to pass. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't have no church in here, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear of it and be glad. I'm supposed to get joy over my affliction, because my affliction works for me a far more exceeding weight of glory. Somebody shout process. All right, I gotta hurry up. Here we go. Process. The process leads to the passage. The passage is where you realize that turning back is not an option. Touch your neighbor and say, turning back is not an option. The only way out is through. I wish I had somebody in here. You can't hit the eject button from the place that God has you. Baby, you just gotta walk it out and trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge. Turning back is not an option. The passage makes clear that turning back is not an option. Slap your neighbor one more high five and say, turning back is not an option. You have to go through it so the new status can be attained. You have to go through it so that when you look back over it, that's when you gain clarity. You only gain clarity once you go through it. And once you go through it, you can look back over your life and begin to imagine and wonder, how in the world did I make it through all of that mess? I dare you to turn around and look at your past and say, how did I make it to where I am right now? I don't even. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for bringing me out. I thank God for taking me through. I thank God for keeping me through. Somebody shout, the passage. The passage. The passage makes clear that turning back is not an option. You can stand on your feet. I'm done. The process. The passage. And the passage leads to the portal. The portal. The portal is small. You can't drag your old self through the portal. It don't fit. You get two bags. Anything else you carry, you're going to be charged for. The only thing you get to carry on this journey is your cross and your bed. Jesus only told people either to pick up your bed or pick up your cross. You can't carry nothing else. He told His disciples, don't take purse with you. Don't take your baggage. You don't need all that. Take yourself. He told people He encountered, pick up your cross, follow Me. Pick up your bed, walk. You can't carry all that stuff. That's why the disruption happens in the middle, so that you can leave the stuff in the middle, God, of the transition. That's why he gave you grace in the goo, as you were decomposing to become who he purposed you to become. The goo stays behind. You trying to take the goo with you. We love to pack Simon for the trip. The portal is always small. The portal is the nowhere zone. It's the threshold of an entirely new world. This is where you get your joy for the next level. Jesus. And Jesus said to him, now I got you in the portal. And he says to them, when I leave, the world is going to turn on you. It's supposed to. Going to turn on you. They're going to be rejoicing that I'm gone. You're going to be sorrowful. But then your sorrow is going to shift into joy. Your sorrow is going to turn into joy. I don't have time. Your sorrow is going to turn into joy. So then there must be joy in my sorrow. Oh, if I had time to preach this thing. If I had time to preach this thing, I'd wear y'all out. So the thing that's causing you misery right now has a miracle on the inside of it. It's already there. You just got to trust it to fall apart, to decompose, to become unrecognizable so that it can turn. So he leaves them with these words. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I looked that up, and one translation says, be of undefeatable joy. I wish I had time to preach it to you. Because I have overcome the world. Now, he's not saying be happy because I did a thing and you can do it too. No, he's saying to his disciples, you can't do it. I did it for you. So the trouble that you will face, you will face it. Face it with undefeatable joy. Oh! Oh, God, do you hear what I'm saying? Face it with undefeatable joy. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They went and turned the world upside down. And all hell was breaking against them. And they turned the world upside down. Christians have to stop running at the sight of trouble. You will never have influence if trouble gets you to turn backwards. You have to face the trouble with undefeatable joy. I want to pray with you. I want to pray a blessing over our bikers. I just pray that this word made sense. I pray that you received that joy at the next level comes with a guide. The guide is there to lead you into all truth about you. About you. About you. About you.
That's why the Holy Spirit convicts. He doesn't condemn. He convicts. Yeah. He convicts. Hallelujah. And he convicts the world. Oh, God. But he intercedes for believers. Simultaneously. So when the world shows up in your life, he convicts it. You got it. While praying for you. So the God helps you in the middle of the trouble. You don't know what to pray. You're in the trouble. So the Spirit begins to make intercession for you. Oh, God, I got to get off of it. I got to lift those hands all over the room. There's joy at the next level. And God is saying to you prophetically, this is the last meal that you will eat at your old level. This is the last time you sit down with Simon. This is the last time you'll be in the company of Judas. This is the last time that you will have to fellowship with doubting Thomas. This is the last time where you don't know how to balance your ambition with the sons of thunder, because you'll learn that the greatest in the kingdom is a servant. This is the last time that you'll question the way you've been questioning. Today you get an understanding. You get wisdom. Not knowledge, wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. So today you get wisdom on how to look at where God has you, and you won't translate the not yet as no. Your trust goes to another level today in Jesus' name. Can our biker friends just lift your hands right where you are, just right there? I want to pray a blessing of the Lord over you. May the rose rise up to meet you. May the grace and peace of God be upon you. May you encounter the risen Savior at every turn. May you see his face and smile in the clouds. May every weapon formed against you be defeated. May your anointing increase to save souls and to rescue lives. May God give you a ridiculous grace to accomplish what they said could not be accomplished. May he bless the works of your hands, and may that blessing be multiplied to your families. In the name of Jesus. Lift those hands all over the church and receive the blessing of the Lord. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.